Right now, let's go out to a friend and colleague, Ramy Dervosla, professor of psychology, Cal State Los Angeles. Ramy, are you seeing cases like this, people splitting over Donald Trump?
I am. You know, not just married couples as much, but dating couples. You know, people saying, or even early in dating, second date, third date, they're like, not feeling it politically, which is a whole new problem in dating. I think they're going to have to come up with a whole new Tinder app for this, because I definitely think it's happening. And it's an uncomfortable conversation. But even in couples who've been together a long time, this new politics feels like a no-fly zone.
And who is it that's initiating the conflict? In other words, is one side more sort of aggressive than the other? In other words, is it the rigidity of a Trump supporter or whoever the Trump supporter is, their point of view that they're imposing on their partner? Or is it the partner intolerance of somebody supporting Mr. Trump?
You know, I actually think the way it's going down is, think about it. If you didn't support Trump, you're on the losing end of it. And so those are the partners that are more unhappy. And so the Trump supporters are actually quite content because they got what they wanted. And I think, honestly, Drew, it's the 24/7 coverage that even if you don't want to talk about it at home, it's always up in your face. So it's the topic that you can't get away from. And if you can't talk about what's bothering you in your relationships, which could be politics, then where are you going to take it? Which is why I think a lot of these couples are being brought to their knees, and not in a good way.
This data also, not in a good way, okay. This data suggests that the millennials are an orders of magnitude, well, at least by a factor of five, more likely to be engaged in these conflicts. Does that fit your clinical experience as well?
Yeah. I think that makes sense, too, for a lot of reasons, Drew. I think millennials are also not as, you know, first of all, they're probably a little less likely to be married. And even when they are in committed relationships, I think their attitude is, I'm going to hold to my ideology, and relationships don't have the same function. Like, it's not as though if you're not in a relationship, there's something wrong with you. That's where this new generation is quite interesting. We're seeing lower rates of committed relationships and marriages. So I think for millennials, the sense is, I don't need to tolerate something I don't want to tolerate. And if I don't agree with your point of view, peace out.
Generally, what do you think is going on with the rigidity in people's political stances? Is it narcissism? Is that the narcissistic turn that we've been talking about all these years that makes people unable to see another person's point of view?
I mean, you and I both know that theories like cognitive dissonance and confirmatory bias make people get really solid in their opinion.
Well, explain what that is. Explain what those two phenomena are.
What that means is that when we're given evidence that's counter to what we believe, we defend our position.
We get more rigid. We get more rigid sometimes. Right?
We become more rigid. Exactly. And we live in a day and age where people are just getting barraged with so much ideology that I think the only safe port in the storm is to hold on hard to your ideology. And a lot of this stuff, Drew, is really inflammatory. It feels personal this time. It's not these faraway fiscal policies. It's race. It's gender. I mean, it's the stuff, religion. It's personal. And so I think as a result, that also is going to heighten rigidity. And finally, in terms of the narcissism piece, I mean, these are narcissistic times. And I think rigidity and narcissism are, you know, they often go together. But I do think it's the personal nature of this and the human nature of people to not let go of what they believe, because then what do you have to hang your hat on? Not a lot.
Yeah, I just hate to see this. It's troubling me that people have gotten so. Tell me if you agree with this, Ramy. It's like the narrative and the narrative and our value in our founding principles has sort of been unmoored in some way. Doesn't it feel like that?
It absolutely does. But what has happened, though, Drew, is I think people are creating communities of people who are like-minded. I can say this as a university professor. I'm actually between classes right now. My little tribe of students here, we're all pretty like-minded. This is an easy sell for me. My stand-up bit works here. But when I move out of this space into mixed company, it's a bit rattling. And so I think what's happening is people are retreating into silos where people think like them. So maybe I'd argue you, Drew, that are we not a tribal species that under these political conditions are returning back to our tribal origins and sticking with people who are just like us?
But again, in that same argument, you're saying that we're returning to a more primitive state. Our more primitive selves are kicking in, which is sort of our narcissistic self too, right?
And it absolutely is. And
it's greatly concerning.
I think it's ironic that we're returning to this. Narcissism is a primitive defense, but also in the face of the most modern innovation possible, technology, I think technology has actually made us more tribal.